Well, what were you all worried about? United secure safety on the final day of the League One season at Vale Park, drawing 0-0 in a pretty turgid game, but getting that 1 point we required to do the business. Helped, of course, by both Chip Burton and Cheltenham losing. So, yeah, nothing to worry about. Right, Tom?
Yeah, well, what were we all worried about?
We just cruised to safety. 4 points clear, mate.
Yeah, said to you after the game, didn't I? I think you could quite easily spin a narrative that we've been really comfortable this season.
Well, we've never fallen into the drop zone, right?
No. I have to say that was probably the thing that worried me most. The fact that Cheltenham hadn't spent a single minute out of it and we hadn't spent a single minute in it. And that, to me, was a recipe for disaster and an almost sure sign that we get relegated on Saturday. So, didn't work out like that. In the end, it was quite a comfortable afternoon, quite enjoyable towards the end. Despite what was going on, obviously, in front of us. But, the rest of it was quite a good laugh.
It was. I think the best thing was how comfortable we were knowing that Burton were 2-0 down at Fleetwood from, they conceded quite early as well. So it wasn't like there was a moments in the second half where it was like a one goal swing or something would drop us in it. And then things changed later on. It was all pretty smooth sailing. Matt Caspel, it's great to have you back, mate.
Hello, mate. Yeah. Back after my hiatus, my sabbatical.
You're just back for the positive pod where we review staying up for another season, are you?
I mean, it's quite funny. If you look at what I've ended up binning, it's pretty much just this like horrid run of games to review pretty much. I've done quite well in that sense, I guess.
You say horrid games to review. let's start by talking about yesterday's game, shall we? We said in the WhatsApp chat this morning, like, how are we going to speak about this game for 45 minutes? So obviously we're not, and we're going to talk about a few more wider points of staying up. But Caspel, do you want to start with some of your thoughts on what was one of the dullest games of all time?
Just look at the stats. We had two shots on target. I feel like I really don't remember those. Header.
Danny Andrews' free kick.
Yeah. There was not a single moment, was there, where it was like, this is exciting. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe Brophy's penalty free kick, that same incident. But that's it. There's a one time there was like any sort of like someone breaking the lines or some sort of excitement on the pitch from both teams. Let's make that clear.
Yeah. I mean, it was just one of those funny things. Obviously, the news had filtered down to the players quite clearly and had actually influenced how we were approaching that. Definitely the second half, it felt like they're almost unwilling to almost let the shackles off. The number of times we were stood with each other like, this will end up back with Mannion, I reckon. And you're in the final third and you're like, I reckon this makes its way back to Mannion over the next sort of 30 seconds. Yeah. And to be honest, best be looking to draw out a positive, I suppose. Like, we never had to worry about anything. We looked completely in control of the football game. I think if we needed to, we would have won the game. But like, I think we had many more gears that we could go through that we just didn't need to. You'd be fuming if you're a Port Vale fan, right?
Oh, my God.
Surely they've got to, like, make a go. I know they're gone already, but it's like, surely you just try and win the game or make something out of it, don't you? Surely, but...
Pretty obvious thing to say, but they looked like such a poor team, didn't they? I mean,
they look like a bunch of bloke. Well, have they got their retained list out yet? I know Shrewsbury basically did it at, like, full-time whistle. It was like, right, off you pop. It looked like some of the blokes playing for Port Vale knew that was it for them and they weren't going to be hanging around. So just looked like, don't get injured, don't make any silly mistakes, but don't do anything remotely good. So it's not a surprise that they've been relegated, to be honest.
Yeah, in that sense, it was like a perfect final game of the season for us. I know we sort of, you would, sometimes there's that risk when you're playing an already relegated team that the shackles come off, a thing like we saw at Fleetwood, right? Well, not like we saw, but like that score indicates up at Fleetwood. One team playing with pressure, one team playing without, but they just have a serious lack of quality, I think. So it was a good time to play them, I guess, in that respect. Tom, how pleased are you, though, that we managed to do the business ourselves without actually relying on results from elsewhere? Like, if we were two down and we were just staring at our phones for the rest of the afternoon, it would be a tiny bit less satisfying?
Yeah, a little bit. It's a bit of a weird one because, obviously, particularly the Fleetwood game or the Burton game, like, was so, like, it was such a sure thing. So it wasn't like, like you said, like the there was never that kind of any real suggestion that it was going to go badly or that there was going to be any sort of tension in it, because that game just seemed to be, I mean, it was basically over half time, wasn't it? I guess it looks better for us that we were the ones that did do our bit, and it was a bit, it was strange, really. Like, it was kind of, I guess, a bit like the Forest Green game last season, really. And that you kind of watch what's going on in front of you, and because of the lack of quality that was pretty evident in both teams, I was never really that concerned at any point that Vale were going to beat us. And I just felt like we were probably always going to go there, and realistically, I think we're always going to. That game was just 0-0, wasn't it? Like, we should have known it before. There was going to be sort of plaster all over it, go for a point, get a point, and, you know, not be able to be broken down by a pretty terrible team. And obviously the Forest Green game last season was sort of similar in that you just didn't really have any issues about the job going on in front of you. It was all about what's going on elsewhere. So the fact that we just didn't have to worry about any of that, I think, makes it better. And yeah, like you say, it makes it a much more comfortable watch, and you know, you can sort of enjoy a bit of the atmosphere for what it is, sort of towards the end of that game, which is something that we've not always been able to do when we've taken good numbers away from home. So yeah, good for that reason. You know, I guess it's obvious to say, but it just takes a bit of the pressure off. And yeah, you can rest easy knowing that Port Vale are unlikely to be the ones that scupper your survival chances.
Yeah, especially like the last 10 minutes of the game yesterday was actually quite enjoyable. Great following, like you say. And that's just every time we got the ball anywhere near an advanced position, just like watching them all cut back, just sort of making me laugh every single time.
It made me laugh in stoppage time particularly. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think Gary Monk said in his post-match interview, like, no, the players weren't like focusing on what was going on elsewhere. But let's be honest, in stoppage time, they know. Like, they,
yeah,
like, you know, might as well concede one just for a laugh at that point. but yeah, it was like, you know, you sort of have like a semi-breakaway moment in like the 94th minute. And then you're like, come on, just give it a go.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, give us something to celebrate. Yeah. If obviously survival wasn't enough, but it would have been nice to just nicked a goal, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it would.
But yeah, you know, I'm not going to sit here and complain too much, because fundamentally in a year's time, we'll probably have forgotten any details about this game of football. It's just simply going to be the fact that we stayed up. So yeah.
Yeah, that's it really. I think that's about as much as we can get out of the game. Casper, in terms of like what was your overriding feeling? Like, what's in a broader sense coming out of the game? Was it relief? I mean, comparing it to last year is probably the obvious thing to do. And I guess they're quite different emotions, right? In terms of the way we've done, in terms of the way both seasons have gone.
Yeah, I think relief is probably a pretty good description. I think it probably is nice. I mean, as Tom touched on it there, it's probably nice that we were just actually able to enjoy ourselves. Like, think of the whole season. It's not been a massive amount of enjoyment, or certainly not any really consistent periods of enjoyment through the entire season, to be honest. We had a lot of chop and change, obviously. So it was just nice for like that 20 minutes, half an hour at the end of the game, just enjoy watching the football. I mean, the football was absolute, you said turgid, I thought just turd, yeah, just absolutely atrocious. But, you know, we were completely bossing the game as well. There was absolutely no jeopardy anywhere. It was just nice to have that situation. And the hope is that we can go next season and maybe have that with, you know, two games to spare, three games to spare. So you can actually go to a few of these games and just relax, enjoy the football, not be staring at Bet365, whatever is what I was doing, certainly the first 20 minutes of the game. You know, actually just remember that, you know, it's supposed to be entertainment football. It's not supposed to be like just pain and misery. If that
it hasn't
makes
felt
sense,
like so. Entertainment for a long time, has it? It's felt like a chore.
It's just a relief, though, isn't it? You know, yeah, relief is probably the best way to describe it. Slightly different from last year. Last year was obviously pretty explosive, whereas this year we just had a bit more time to relax into it, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom, anything different from you? Any sort of like initial feelings on staying up this year?
Nothing really other than the obvious, I guess. It's just, yeah, like Casper said, really, it's just all relief to have got it secured. I mentioned it, I think it was after the Bristol Rovers game, maybe, a couple of weeks back, but I kind of don't mind the way that we're staying up. You know, last season, you know, was total just elation, and it was kind of hard to be like really, really critical, because everything's on the way that we stayed up and the sort of euphoria that came with it. Whereas I think because we've sort of, you know, it looks sort of maybe more comfortable than it's felt in the last few weeks, I think. And that does allow you to maybe have a bit more of a sort of critical look at like where things have gone wrong. And you don't really lose yourself in any of the sort of emotions that maybe we did last season, particularly in terms of our feelings towards players and what their future should or shouldn't be with us really going forward. I think like it's a the game, I guess, kind of sums up in some ways how we've done it and sort of what our season has been built on, which I would argue is a strong platform at the back. Obviously, the clean sheet allows us, you know, I guess, yesterday it was obviously as simple as clean sheet equals survival, and anything else might be a little bit more complicated. But I think like generally for the club, obviously, again, it sounds really, really, really simplistic, but staying up is really good for us. Like where we're at as a football club at the moment, like, you know, look at the following to Port Vale, you know, we're getting sort of, in advance of 7,000 people at the Abbey on a pretty regular basis, particularly if the away following is good. You just feel that takes such a hit if you end up in League Two, like not least because of the amount of fans that are going to be coming from like whoever it is, like Harrogate and Morecambe and stuff like that, compared to what could potentially be like Birmingham. And, you know, you think about the derbies that we might have next season as well, the sort of more local games. And it's massive for that. And you know, you do kind of feel like the last few weeks this season have just been, I guess what you might expect they are really, which is just crawl over the line as you get to next season. The, you know, the hard work sort of starts at full time at Port Vale, I guess. So yeah, obviously main thing is relief, and you know, glad that we're going to be in League One again. So I think it's been a really good level for us, and I think it's been on the whole, a pretty enjoyable experience. We're probably, you know, it's probably not unfair to say that along the way there have been some quite disappointing moments and periods. But yeah, I think it's a really good level for us to be playing at, and I'm glad we're going to be doing it again next season.
Yeah, and I think in the wider sense of the club, you're right, the importance of staying in League One is huge for our development and where we want to be in like 5 years' time. And I think it's also important to mention that it's no small feat. I mean, I was thinking about it just earlier when you see Cheltenham get relegated yesterday, and I've always sort of used Cheltenham as like a sort of similar barometer to us in terms of a club that probably has similar ambitions of how they want to build, similar history, like vaguely similar size in this division at least. And like they obviously came up with us as champions. And then we've stayed in League One longer than them. And I think, however we've done that, it is no small feat for us to be about to be able to enjoy our fourth season in League One. And I think the club tweeted, the average attendances have increased by 500 each year. So, you know, that growth is showing itself, and it's not just all spreadsheets and stuff. It's like physically happening in front of us, if you know what I mean. And that following yesterday is another good example of that, as you've mentioned a few times. But yeah, tricky season. Casper, I'm intrigued to see what your thoughts are on the job Monk's done so far. I'll give you some stats if you want. So the three managers we've had this season, permanent managers, Bonner played 19, won 5, drawn 5, lost 9, as points per game of 1.05. Harris, Snakey Wanker. Harris, played 13, won 5, drew 3, lost 5. And that's 1.38 points per game. So we're, you know, comfortably staying up into him. Monks is 11, played 11, won 2, drawn 4, lost 5, conceded, only scored 8 and conceded 17 with 0.91 points per game. Obviously, that doesn't take into account the context of the end of the season, the context of when Monk came in, but I'm intrigued to see, you know, what you make of it, because it feels like there's sort of two ways of reading it, right? Like, I think it's impressive that you got the job done. And if you strip out the Lincoln and Reading disasters, and once he got a bit of time with the squad, we conceded 7-9, which is pretty impressive. And he managed to shore us up, and ultimately he's done his job. But yeah, what are your reflections on Monk so far?
He's doing fine, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? It's reasonable to assume after that snake slithered away, that there's quite a bit of a problem with the morale in the squad, I would imagine. You know, this guy only worked with us for 70-odd days, had signed a couple of blokes with, one with particularly interesting temperament, I guess.
Well, James Gibbon.
It's probably fair to say. And Monk had a lot of repairing and picking people up to do, I would think. So whilst we've obviously not been blown away, as you point out, he got the final part of the season, so he's absolutely done the job. Like, the job was keep us in the division. We end up finishing, 18th? We end up finishing quite comfortable when you actually look at the league table in hindsight.
Who picked up last season?
Yeah, I mean, he picked up some pretty big results there, like going away to someone like Barnsley. Trying to think when our last sort of biggest win would have been before that, away from home, probably you know, quite a long time ago, I think. I can't even fathom one up because there's not been that many to pick from. He got those marquee results over Easter that really kind of sorted us out, to be honest. And then, no, we've not finished the season like massively impressively, but we're just absolutely like job done. He deserves obviously an opportunity to get himself a transfer window and plan stuff out a bit more and see what he does with the retained list, obviously, when that comes. And yeah, he absolutely deserves a really good opportunity next season to put his own actual stamp on it and sign his own players, and we see what happens next, right?
I find that really exciting under Monk personally, because I think he's done, like you said, I think he's done a fine job. He's done what we asked him to do in really tricky circumstances. It was a bit of a hospital pass, right? When he got the job, I guess. But there was like, he called it Parrot at the end of the stick, right? It's like, you can get through this and the real project starts in the summer.
It's a pretty brave thing for someone with his profile and having not been working football for a few years to take that job on. Because as you rightly point out, absolute hospital pass. If you take Cambridge down to League Two, you know, what happened? What's your next step from there? He's going to stick with Cambridge in League Two. This is a guy who's managed a top half Premiership team. You know, like, you got to sort of look after your reputation as well. So I'd imagine, you know, with some of the other candidates that were being spoken around that time, I just don't know how appealing it would have been as a job. I think it was had like proper jeopardy written all over it. So you've got to respect him for taking it on. It's obviously delivered the result we needed, as Tom pointed out, for the infrastructure of the club and the future of the club. I think massively important that we stay in this division whilst we run the redevelopment, whilst we get everything kind of sorted out and keep trying to grow these average attendances, basically. So we've got to keep that momentum we've got. So can't underestimate the importance of the work that's been done. Big challenge, obviously, next season with Mansfield, Stockport, Wrexham, and possibly, obviously, maybe Huddersfield, Rotherham, Plymouth, like quite a few difficult big clubs coming into the league from both directions.
Yeah, yeah. Next season is sort of a bit daunting, but I think it really is a bit of an opportunity next year. And it does feel like there is a bit of excitement now that we've managed to do our job this year, that potentially, you know, you can try and actually properly build something next year. Because given, you know, the one chance or the one moment that he had to actually work with the squad and impart his ideas, he improved us, I mean, instantaneously over that weekend. But then also, I'd say, in the longer run, if despite not getting a lot of results, well, no wins, in fact, but I still think we looked like a bit more, people weren't tearing us apart anymore. And I think he'd managed to get a handle on how he wanted us to play, and they are not his players. So I think he proved himself in that one little international break and of how good a coach he is. And I think it could be exciting next season. But Tom, there's a couple of questions here on how Monk set us up. And maybe this is sort of where I was just mentioning there about his about just needing to get the job done. Chris has asked, please convince me that Monk isn't going to set up so defensively next season. I can't stomach watching a team so negative. And then James also says, are you looking forward to a more progressive style from the U's next season? And do you think playing out from the back will give us more control in games? I wonder have you thought about, like, A, how you might want him to play, or the actual style that he's played this year? Any reflections on that?
I think we have to find a way of being more creative. I think that's obvious. That's been the real struggle for us, I think, since getting back to this level. We've never consistently found a system or a way of playing that creates good quality chances on a regular basis. And that obviously really hamstrings what your ambitions can be, I guess. I don't really have, you know, any real issues with how we've been set up, particularly in the last couple of weeks, because I mean, if you look at the Port Vale game, it's just like a needs must thing, isn't it? It's just like, just keep a clean sheet. Like, that's your job. Like, we can try and make it more complex and more attractive than that, but there's just no need to do it, really. And it'd been quite weird if we went in search of that sort of more creative way, maybe something a little bit more exciting on the eye in that moment, because literally your only job is to keep a clean sheet, and that's it. That's all that's important. And I think there will have been a little bit of that, really, in other games this, you know, sort of at the end of this season as well, because, you know, like Monk's kept referring to, like, the work kind of starts now, really, once survival's secure. I don't really know exactly how it will look. I think we're unlikely to see, like, a, you know, go from what we've been under Bonner and Harris as well, which obviously primarily been quite a defensively minded team. I don't think we're likely to go from that into, like, this kind of, like, swashbuckling attack inside. that are going to be really attractive to watch and really easy on the eye, like regardless of, you know, who Monk's allowed to bring in and what the system looks like. So I guess the nature of us being at this level is that we're always going to be, we're probably going to go into like, what, 80% of our games with people expecting us to be beat. And obviously in that situation, then it, you know, it does become about how can we basically make ourselves a hard opponent. And that often is by building a platform at the back. As a wise man once said.
Yeah,
that's the second time. But yeah, I think in terms of like the sort of the way that we actually play that and the way that kind of looks and sort of manifests itself, I think it, you know, is likely to be a bit more progressive. Like Monk's coming from a high level, like you can tell sort of throughout his post-match interview particularly, there's obviously a real relief to have secured safety, but you can tell he's not just going to be happy with this. Whereas I think actually, particularly with Bonner and to some extent with Neil Harris, like that was a limitation of our ambition. It was simply just like, oh, well, if we finish a goal above the line, then that's great. But there's not really much of a kind of outlook for the future on how we're going to progress at this level. Whereas it feels like Monk has a bit more of that. That's obviously not based on loads because he's not been here for a long time. But it's just the gut feeling that I have. So I think you know, it has to be looked at. It's quite, you know, it should be an exciting thing really, because we are going to, I think, see a very different approach to what we've seen in, you know, maybe this time last year. And I think that has to be a positive thing. It's obviously firstly why we made the managerial change back in, what was it, November, and you know, you're obviously a big part of the reason that Monk's been brought in, I guess. So yeah, excited to see how it goes. Not massively confident that it's going to be a totally new style and a new product, shall we say. But yeah, something to look forward to nonetheless, I guess.
Yeah, also a point that we've made quite a few times is like, I feel like people are looking back on past managers. Let's take Bonner and like have this different reading in hindsight of like how we played under Bonner. Like Bonner was a very conservative manager as well.
The football was incredibly atrocious for most of it.
Yeah, especially in the later stages.
Yeah, I mean, it was always like set up to be like super attritional and very defensively minded. And that's not necessarily a problem, but like the issues start coming when that's not effective anymore, because then it's just like terrible football being executed really poorly. And that's obviously quite hard to go and watch every week as fans. And obviously that did become the case, which is obviously why Bonner left. But yeah, you do feel like with Monk, there's maybe a little bit more potential for something that's hopefully a little bit more enjoyable to watch. But I think for us at this level, you know, just talked about the relief that comes with staying up. That probably is secondary in terms of its importance to us. How does it look? Not really so, you know, as important as what are the results, basically.
Yeah, I totally agree. To wrap up the manager chat, I think something that we've said quite a few times is that I think Harris would have kept us up much more comfortably than this. We'd have probably cruised to safety because we were picking up enough points and he was getting those players of his playing. But I think we're in a better position in the long run with Monk this summer than Harris. So strangely now, I think that excitement also comes from the fact that while it's been such a turbulent second half of the season, especially for Snakey Harris ditching us at such an inopportune moment, it's actually like potentially a bit of a blessing, very well disguised, don't get me wrong, back in February. Let's move on to the retained list. Obviously, we've got loads of questions in from listeners about the retained list. We're going to do a retained list pod, so we're only going to sort of skim it now. But Tom, Charlie, Josh, Daniel, Jim, and a few others actually all asked what a retained list should look like. Casper, where's your head at with players that we should keep?
My God, it's a big question. I think, without going player by player, because that's probably something we'll do after the thing comes out, and there's definitely a few names that I reckon the three of us will have a good...
Big time.
A good haggle over based on yesterday anyway. It feels like everyone's expecting this massive turnover, and I just simply don't think that's what is going to happen. I think there will be quite a few ins and outs, but I still think for us that isn't... The way some people are talking about it on message board or even just when you talk to people, everyone's like, gut the whole thing, you know, start again. And I just simply don't think that will be the reality of what happens. I guess that does then lead you on to some of the names. And there's quite a lot of interesting debate on the message board, definitely at the moment, around like Jordan Cousins, yes, no. Even Paul Digby, yes, no. Brophy, yes, no. These are probably some of the more sort of interesting people, I think, to talk about. And I don't know fully what I think. I guess I think you. So I'm glad it's not me who has to do it. Yeah, it's an interesting concept, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
It feels like rather than like almost the crucial thing we've got to do this summer, for me, is improve the floor of quality in the squad, right? So like, I'm happy to keep Paul Digby in this team, but I sort of want him to be like our fourth choice centre mid who.
Yeah,
I'm not saying make up the numbers, but I want to hit that quality, and that's sort of there to be like our worst.
And one thing we were saying, yes, again, I think you're right. It's about the balance of what you leave behind.
Yeah.
And also with respect, obviously, understanding that some people are just in contract, right?
Yeah.
But Digby's through to 2025 anyway.
So is Adam May.
So I'd be shocked. Like, you're not gonna. I'd be very shocked if we turf anyone out who has a deal. Of those sort of bigger names who've made, you know, 30, 40, 50 appearances. I mean, Digby's been one of our most consistently available, fit players over the last like 3-4 years. So it would just be madness to release him, I think, like to actually get rid of him, for example.
And on Digby specifically, just to say, like, I think the problem has always been like who he's been playing with. Like, you know, the first half of last season, he was playing most of the season with Ben Warman or maybe Lewis Simper at points.
Yeah,
look, second half under McGrandles, he looked a much better player.
With Digby, there's an understanding. He's doing well as a League One footballer, but his ceiling is close to it, right? Like quite a lot of those players who certainly we've carried up through the promotion squad and into League One are probably quite close to their natural ceiling. And there's a reason that we're perennially finding ourselves, you know, in the bottom eight of the division. And that says that we do need to make some changes. But in a way, with your retain list, I think, you know, you've got to think of the player salaries that come into account as well. So when you're talking about Jordan Cousins, I don't think there's actually anything conceptually wrong with retaining Cousins at League One level. So I think he's fine. There are obviously some challenges. He's had a few moments, but he will be earning. He'll be one of our top earners. And your question you have to ask yourself is like, can we use that budget better? And I think when you look at it through that lens, the answer is probably yes. And then Tom nailed it earlier, chance creation is the biggest thing that I think we need to address just generally, basically. We finished second bottom in the XG league table.
Did we? Above Carlisle?
No, at Wigan we're actually bottom.
Really?
I find fascinating. Yeah,
that's
crazy. Which is a bit mad. But yeah, no, we finished second bottom. There's only three teams that had less than one average XG per game, and we were one of them. So this won't surprise you, but it is about chance creation because we've actually seen, you know, with Ahadmi coming back, even, you know, we have good strikers and I think we have a good sort of core of a defensive unit goalkeeper. So really is that midfield department where the most surgery and overhaul is needed, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's kind of how you need to then, I think you're right, that's kind of how you approach your retained list is almost building that squad for next season, saying, look, who, you know, what are we missing? Where do we need to recruit? And then where do we need to make space in the squad and the budget to allow us to make the moves that we're going to need to make, and what we know is will be of the whole time we've been in League One, next season is going to be the hardest season for sure, based on the teams that are coming in from both directions. So, yeah, we need some creativity in that midfield, definitely.
Yeah, big time. And it feels like the central midfield area specifically is where we've gone wrong in our last two summer windows for sort of quite different reasons. Casper touched on it there, Tom, but potentially, maybe at the back is where I feel most comfortable with some of the players that we've got, like the least amount of additions. I think if you're looking at, I don't know, Liam Bennett, Job, Morrison, Andrew, Zeno, Okadina, like potentially not loads that we need to do there. Or do you think I'm being a bit too positive?
No, I think that's fair. I think that's probably the one area of the pitch which has probably been, sounds a little odd given some of the results that we've been through, but I think that's the one area of the pitch which has kind of been okay as well this season. Like, I think, was it 14 clean sheets? Like, that's a pretty decent return. I think, like, if we do that again next season, then I think there's a good chance that we'll survive again. And I think a couple of those players, you know, sort of in the defence, they're probably the ones that can take real credit out of this season, whereas a lot of players just simply can't. Haven't done what's been expected of them, fallen short of expectations and just not contributed enough. Whereas I think if you look at Danny Andrew, Liam Bennett specifically, and Morrison, I guess, as well, like they're probably your three shouts for player of the year. And, you know, you'd like to think that Danny Andrew would probably get himself another contract with us. you know, assuming he's keen for it, of course. Obviously Bennett, we've got an option on, so you imagine he'll stay. You'd like to think the same with Job. So yeah, defence is probably the one area of the pitch I'd probably agree where I would be most confident. I guess the question mark will be left back. What are we doing there? Or certainly in terms of like cover at left back, because obviously that was an area that we, or at full back, I should say, you know, Gibbons came in and sort of filled that slot quite nicely, I think. So does he get a contract? And then I guess Ryan Bennett's probably your other question mark. I think that at times this season he has been well short of what we would expect of someone of his experience and quality. But you know, you can't argue with the fact that he has been a central part of a defence which has kept us up, basically. And at times, you know, particularly in the sort of earlier bit of the season when we were going to like Derby and getting nil nils, and we kept a few clean sheets right at the start of the season in August as well, which obviously saw us go top for a little while. Like, I think you go into most games saying that them two, Morrison and particularly Bennett, are like our best players. Like that's how we build the team around. And you don't want to, you know, totally kind of throw the baby out of the bathwater with these things, do you? Just because like some players have to go. Like, I mean, the difficulty is if you do like totally clean house and like Caspel said a minute ago, just like chop everyone that's out of contract and start getting rid of people who are under contract as well, you do leave yourself a lot of work to do in the summer. And I guess the question mark would be, do we feel confident that we can upgrade in some of these areas? I think the jury's out with Ryan Bennett. I'm not absolutely sure. I think he's a good player. He's capable at this level, definitely. But is his time of us just expired a little bit? Maybe that's the question.
It's about the pairings as much as anything, I would say. So yes, you can keep Bennett in isolation and or you keep Morrison, but do you keep both? It's same with Digby and Cousins to a degree. It's like that lack of pace running through the core of the team had become a real headache and a real problem for us. And we just looked so, whatever the opposite of dynamic is, if you know what I mean, we were just very static and slow. So I think, again, like Jules, your point was you're trying to shape out a squad, you know, that works together as a unit. Individually, all these guys are probably fine at League One level still, but can you, from a budget sense and from a sort of balance of squad sense, keep them all together, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Because I think the one thing we'd say about this summer is like, this isn't a well-built squad. It's not a very well-balanced squad, despite there being some obvious quality in it. And let's talk about those signings from the summer. Jez has asked, maybe Jez George, who knows, in order from success to flop, how would you rate the new signings this season? Tom, do you want to start? So like Kachunga, what do you think?
Well, we're going to have to dig out our man.
We have to dig out our mate, yeah.
No, I think he's been okay.
And would you keep him?
Depends if he's going to cut another run.
Feet to the fire. This is great. He will be listening as well.
You'll get half price on the sponsorship next year.
Yeah, don't know about that. he definitely won't be listening either, by the way. We obviously had the good fortune of sitting down to have lunch with him, and it was very abundantly clear he was not a listener.
Yeah, thank God for that.
We can really slag him off. I think, do you know what? It kind of mirrors a bit of what Casper was saying about the defence and the midfield. Whereas I think, like, if you look at our forward options, obviously not including the actual strikers here, like the out and out strikers. I think if you look at like Kaikai and Kachunga as like your sort of attacking midfielders, you're probably keeping one of them, I think. And I would probably say that on the balance, what we've seen, I reckon probably Kachunga's had a better season and probably it's contributed more. So maybe I would keep him. Yeah.
It's really hard to say all this, isn't it? Just to Casper's point just there, because it's about, yeah, like how you build your squad. So it's like, yeah, potentially you keep them both, but it sort of depends what players you're building in around them and how he wants them to play. So I guess we're sort of going on, you know, with a big sort of missing bit of the jigsaw when we're making these calls. I mean, at least giving our opinions. But I think you're right on catch.
Can you ask me about the strikers?
I'm getting there. Don't worry, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
What about Kaikai?
All right, fine. I'll give you Kaikai. Probably not, to be honest. It's been like, It's a weird one with Kaikai, because I think he has been, since the turn of the year, I think been an okay performer, but I just think like just lacks a lot defensively. And I just wonder, is he like a bit of a luxury for a team like us? But again, I guess it depends a little bit on what happens elsewhere. You know, beyond any reasonable doubt, there is a player in there that's capable of playing at this level. It's just how consistently we're going to see those performances, I think. He's obviously played quite a lot under Monk as well. It's not like he's been kind of bombed out by Monk, so maybe he's a player that he rates.
Yeah, agreed with that. Caspel, I'll give you Jordan Cousins.
Oh, this is great.
Just because I know Tom's opinion. So
I wondered if I was going to duck any of these because I haven't named anyone yet, which is, you know, it's nice. I was enjoying that. I think you've got to release him based on like size of contract. I'm not sure that he will get released, but I think if you think you can reallocate the money better, and also if you think him and Digby kind of ended up a bit parked on each other's toes doing the same job, and Digby is under contract, then there's just enough of a compelling set of reasons that you think you might be able to do something better with the budget, basically.
Jack Stevens, I think he's got another year, hasn't he, anyway? So
yeah,
Stevens,
you know,
is
what
staying.
The goalkeepers, I think, is probably the really difficult one, because obviously Stevens is the one under contract, and Mannion is probably just a better goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that you'd keep both. Like, I'm not sure if Monk would be happy going into next season with them two as the options. I think he'd probably look to upgrade. I guess the ideal thing is that Mannion would be under contract, and we could just bin Stevens and go and get someone maybe better as your kind of first choice goalkeeper. But it feels harsh because Mannion's had a really decent run in the team. So, yeah, that's a dilemma.
Yeah, you're right. That is a tricky department, isn't it? Let's go to the strikers then, Tom.
Yes. Oh.
Gassan. Start there.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's on loan, but we have trying to bring him back next season.
We'll crescendo up to the big one. yeah, Gassan, I think we'd be pretty silly not to try and get him permanently. I think he's had a pretty good year, really. Obviously, he spent a little bit of time on the sidelines, and we saw one hell of a player while Neil Harris was here. And you have to think that Monk, well, would like or should be able to get something out of him. But I just think he's a pretty capable player at League One level. Like, probably, you know, if he gets a full season under his belt, you'd probably be surprised if he scored less than double figures. And I think that's probably not a bad place to start, especially considering what we're about to say with some of the other centre forwards. We're going to leave ourselves a lot of work to do in that part of the pitch.
Yeah, that's very true. Do you want Macaulay Bonn as well?
I'll answer it. I don't want him. you know, with the greatest respect, he's looked slightly off standard. Being kind, I think. I think he can find himself a home in League Two, perhaps.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Or lower, potentially.
The big one then, John Kamani-Gordon. What are you doing with him?
He's already gone. Ask me about the other guy.
Lyle Taylor.
Yes, here we go. This is what we were waiting for. Imagine if the retain list comes out and he's been offered like a 3-year deal. It'd be absolutely brilliant.
Is now the time to talk about my prediction for the run in? Or
yeah, well
we
done.
Leave that?
Do yeah. I might say first? Is that all right?
Nah.
yeah, Lyle Taylor. I think just get the guy as far away from Cambridge as possible. Incredible and genuinely quite an impressive ability to end up being hated by every single club that you've played for, other than Wimbledon, which is where I suspect he may end up in the summer. Started off quite well, tailed off quite dramatically, quite the exit from his time at Cambridge United, you'd have to say, and proved himself, I guess, beyond any reasonable doubt, to be a bit of a penis. So
here's a question for you, though, right? Is that signing, has it been a success or has it been a flop? Now, it might sound like a stupid question given the last month or so, but you've also got to think about the points that he earned us under Harris in January, February, right?
Yeah, I think, yes, you do. Like Fleetwood at home, obviously, you know, his debut was
Shrewsbury
good.
Away.
Yeah, I think Shrewsbury, I think they're the ones particularly that you'd look at and go, that was points that he won us. I think like he did play really well up at Carlisle as well, but I would add the caveat that I would probably look quite good against Carlisle this season. and we dispatched them really comfortably without him even getting on the score sheet. I think he got one assist in that game. But I mean, just like since Harris left, and it still confuses me with Lyle Taylor, because like his interview after the Fleetwood game, when he made his debut, scored his first goal for God knows how long, like he looked like genuinely delighted, and he was like, oh, I could have found a bit of a home here. I could be on to a bit of a winner. You know, it's an all right level. You know, I know at the time he was playing for Harris, but like it just seems strange to me that a guy that must have played for 10, 15, maybe like even 20 managers throughout his career, his form was so tied to one who he'd never played under before. Like, it just seems like a really weird thing. And I think this is the one thing, like, you know, if you want to be more general about it and talk about the build-up of the squad, like, the character of it has to be looked at so much. And I don't just mean in terms of, like, a mentality of, you know, being able to turn up in every game and give your best, but I think just in terms of not building a squad of bellends. Because, like, this is one thing that, you know, I guess with the knowledge we've now got of someone like Neil Harris, it's not hard for me to see why he would attract a guy like Lyle Taylor to his team. But he's a problem character. Like he is. Like we can look throughout his career and he might feel that he's been hardly done by the reaction he got from some of our fans after that Wickham game. But I'm sorry, like without trying to go, you know, there's no smoke without fire sort of thing, it's kind of true. You know, I don't think this many clubs and this many fan bases can be wrong about someone like him. So yeah. Good luck to him, whatever he does in the future. Obviously, he's won us some games on his own, it felt like at times. But yeah, just an unacceptable level of performance, a level of effort. I mean, his cameo against Wickham was fucking appalling. And yeah, I think for him and his career, it basically hinges on whether or not he'll work out Wimbledon again. Because if not, I think he's in a tricky spot because I don't think there'll be too many clubs, particularly given his wage demands or what you expect his wage demands will be, he'll touch with a shitty stick, basically. So, yeah, all the best, Lyle.
Yeah, something like that. Casper, it's worth mentioning your prediction, which came true, which was, I will remind people, that Lyle Taylor, when he's back from suspension, will not score another goal this season, which unfortunately did come true. We spoke a lot at that time about, like, what sort of Taylor are we going to get back under Monk? Obviously, we know the answer to that now. But well done. That was a good prediction, I guess.
Great, yeah. I hadn't really factored into that because I was feeling pretty doom and gloom about it all. I hadn't really sort of figured out that Habme might come back and actually score a few goals. I just thought Taylor wouldn't score any and we just wouldn't.
Yeah.
And we were just going to disappear. But I think this prediction must happen around the time of the 10-0 week, right? So
yeah, it would have done. Yeah.
So I was on a bit of a low at that point anyway.
It wasn't the greatest week for positivity, was it?
And also the last thing that we would have seen him in before that was him, like, assaulting Jack Iredale.
Yeah. Like three different times in one movement somehow. Last couple, Casper, we'll give to you. Danny Andrew, I think we're all pretty agreed that...
Yeah, he got hold on to him, eh?
I think he's a good player at this level, despite his tricky start, maybe. And then I think an interesting one, James Gibbons. Tom mentioned it earlier in terms of, like, how we build our defenders and the options that we have there. He seems to me, again, a bit of that, what I've said about Digby, that, like, you can keep Gibbons, but... To me, he can't be first choice. I don't think we're going to move and progress with a guy like him first choice. Personally, I don't think he's quite good enough.
Yeah, it's another one of those who feel like he's pretty close to his ceiling. But that isn't necessarily a problem. I guess we don't really know anything. We don't know anything about his character, but it's one of those where, like, he's quite a utility player. Like, he's played obviously left back, right back, which is useful, and he's been perfectly fine. But he's just played across it all and he's been fine and reliable. He seems pretty wholehearted, like, gets stuck in. Do you know what I mean? He's not going to be shirking around. He doesn't look like he has any issues with his attitude or his work rate or anything, which is all positive. I think if he's, like, a good influence around the training ground, then yeah, you keep him. But
yeah.
If he's a bit of a knob, then you don't. Do you know what I mean?
He is. I mean, he's another Harris signing, so there is probably an assumption that, like, exclusively knobs.
A character reference from Neil Harris is not the recommendation it maybe once was.
Yeah. He is out of contract to Bristol Rovers this summer, so I wouldn't be surprised if we did put him in, but I really hope that we sign, like, a first choice left wing back ahead of him.
Well, this is it across all the signings we should be looking to make, obviously, and this is kind of fairly obvious thing, but, like, everyone we sign, we should be trying to sign now new first team players and just moving some of the more reliable long-term squad members, like, down on, you know, into the squad, basically, is like a good way to approach it. So yeah, I would agree with that.
Yep, exactly. That sort of answers Joe's question, who said, what do you make of people calling for out-of-contract players to be kept for continuity? Surely we are where we are because we've been mostly crap for two seasons. Is that partly because we're showing too much loyalty to players who lack the quality to help us kick on? And I think that's the point we're just making there, that I think this retained list, everyone wants it to be brutal and savage, but realistically, it's going to be, I think it will be pretty extensive and be pretty, it will be fairly formidable as far as retained lists go, but I don't think it's going to be the sort of cull that a lot of people might be hoping for.
We've got 25 players who are going out of contract, so we are not going to shed 25 people. No. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. And here's the other point I was just about to make is it'd be interesting to see if Monk wants a bigger squad anyway than Bonner did, because Bonner famously wanted smaller squads with a bit tighter knit and guys, no strikers sitting in the stands or whatever the quote was. But it'd be interesting.
You've forgotten a main one. You've forgotten a key one.
What? Another, what, a player? What?
Yeah.
Saiku Janne.
Oh, my God. I forgot all about Saiku Janne.
Him, but not him. I was talking about Brophy.
Oh, Jimmy Brophy, yeah. Yeah, we didn't sign in the summer, but yeah. What's your call on Brophy?
I guess whether or not he should stay. Sort of at the time quite enjoyed his little inflatable beach ball thing when he scored with that. And then I looked at his stats. I was like, you have scored one goal in like 140 games. It's probably best not to joke about it too much.
Yeah.
You have been quite underwhelming for quite a long time. Like, you've not scored a goal for like 3 years. Like, it's all fun and games until you actually look into that.
I think he's a really interesting case, Brophy.
I think he's one that will split opinion a lot more than maybe others, because I think there is a sense that he offers more than that meets the eye. I know Casper will love seeing him win a couple of throw-ins every game. which is obviously something that we're going to have to build our season on next season if we are to be successful, and is arguably one of the most important stats in football. But I would kind of lean more towards the opinion that he's just been a bit naff for quite a while. Do we see a future for him in centre mid?
I was about to say, he played really well against Port Vale and he was in that centre mid role, mate. So
again, with the asterisk, I think us three would have played really well on Saturday, considering the sort of pace and intensity and quality of the game.
Well, I think
this is one that Casper would be really delighted with if he did stay and did prove to be quite a good centre mid, because that'd really validate you quite a lot, wouldn't it? Because that's been like something that you've been on about for a while, and you've pushed that.
I'm a small man, mate. So yeah, I'd be very happy. Prove you wrong. I just think Brophy contributes a lot. He also seems like a really good member of the squad, training ground morale. There is a bit of a continuity piece. I don't think it ever makes sense to retain players simply for the sake of continuity, but I'm not sure that's really what we're doing here. Like, if you are good enough to contribute to a League One squad, then you stay. And I think Brophy fits that camp. Like, he can be a good member of our squad. I'm not saying he should necessarily be like a starter week in, week out. We need good competition around it. I think lacking creativity in centre midfield has been a big problem. He's very good at moving from edge of one 18-yard box to the edge of the other. What happens after that is not good, but it is something that he can continue to work on, I think. So
there's also a versatility element with him, right? He plays both sides. We're talking about centre mid here. He's played a lot of left back and left wing back, especially if we're playing five. Like, he will actually have the ability to fill a lot of those positions. I suppose to give, you know, the other side to that opinion, and I think this is where he will split opinion, it's just like, I think if we're really trying to be ruthless and upgrade this whole squad, I think he's your prime example of someone you can get a better version of, or someone who I think he's had his chance at improving those numbers, which I know it's not all he offers, but like, he is a winger and he's scored one goal and assisted what, seven in 150 odd games. Like, I just think those numbers at some stage, he is just like actually not contributing enough to our attacking.
He's 29 now as well. Like, yeah, I think you're probably right there. Like, do you see James Brophy approaching his 30s? Like, is he suddenly going to discover a goal scoring touch, or a really fruitful assist sort of record? I don't necessarily see that's something that's going to happen. Maybe it'll be like wine. Harrison Dunk did do it. Oh, what a shame, man. Because I would love to have Harrison Dunk staying. But
yeah, same. We were saying yesterday at the game, it would have been amazing if Dunk had come on, like, hobbled on for like the last minute or something.
Yeah, that's where you really want Gary Monk across the other scores, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, as soon as Fleet would go 3, you'd be like, Harrison, your time to shine, mate. Don't care how injured you are, to be honest. Just be nice.
Yeah, yeah. Right, let's quickly talk about the sort of players that you'd want to see us signing. Obviously, we've spoken a lot about that retained list and what that's going to look like. I think probably extensive, but maybe not as big as some people are hoping it it's going to be. But then who are these players, or what type of player would you want us to be going out and signing, Tom? We've had this question from Jack. Whilst realising we are size-wise a lower League One outfit at best, how do we push on and avoid perennial struggles? We've had good players in recent years, but let contracts run down. Should we be selling and reinvesting in young players? Dare I say it, doing a posh? We've spoken about this a couple of times on the pod, but have you got something in mind for like the sort of player you'd like us to go out and recruit this summer?
Yeah, I think so. I think the first point to make on it is that I suppose my opinion of what that profile player should be is less important than just actually having one and actually just having a strategy. Because all right, it might be kind of pushing a narrative, and obviously hindsight's a wonderful thing. But if you look at the recruitment that we did in the summer, and sort of following into January a little bit, what we basically end up doing was just signing people that we'd heard of and like guys who had played a few games in the division above and just going, they're available, they might drop down, therefore we'll sign them. And there wasn't much more thought to it than that. Like, you look at Cousins, you look at someone like Lyle Taylor in January, one or two others in there as well. And like, I just think we just got to be a bit smarter about it. Like, we've got to be able to bring in players who have some sort of upwardly mobile, kind of trends in their career, I think. And if I look at basically the two successful windows, or the two most successful windows, I should say, that Strang's overseen for us, one of those being in the conference, which obviously saw us get promoted, and one of those being before the League Two season. And I League Two promotion season, I guess you can kind of add into that the our first season in League One. Well, we're signing guys from maybe a lower league, but probably a smaller club within the same division, who have some sort of potential, probably between the ages of like 23 and 26. And, over 2 or 3 or 4 years, you end up building a squad, which is quite good and does have some sort of, it might not necessarily be resale value, depending on the, where they're at in their careers. But I think that's what I'd be looking to do. I basically look at League Two and the relegated teams in League One, and I'd sign their best players. I know that's a really simplistic way of looking at it, but that's the sort of approach I would like us to see a little bit more of, rather than just basically signing old journeymen looking for a last payday, which I think is an accusation you could probably point at one or two of those that are in the squad at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. Especially with that, looking down at the best players, I'd maybe even go a bit further than that. I think you could look at some of the best players in the conference, and like, that's doing a posh, right? It's maybe not pinning your hopes on a guy who's had one good year in the conference, but I think it's about how you build this squad, and those journeymen, they can offer a lot, right? Like an Elias Katrunga, I imagine, could offer a lot in terms of his experience, but you can't really have like four of him because there's got to be a better balance than that. So, yeah,
well,
totally
like it feels a little bit backhanded, that, and obviously, we don't want to see Bosch succeed, and obviously we do wish all the best to Oxford United in their upcoming playoff campaign. Of course, all these things are still relevant and still true, and all the abuse that we've sent their way in the past, that still very much remains valid. But like. Look at what Posh do. Like, they're good at what they do. And if you actually look through the list of their squad now, like, there's nobody in there that I think you could describe as like a past it journeyman. I guess from their perspective, the one they'd maybe look at for that is probably Clark Harris.
Harris, yeah.
But he's like won the Golden Boot twice for them, I think.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That feels a little bit harsh. And basically what they've done other than that is just refresh the squad with really high potential young talent. And, for us, like, obviously that might not pay dividends straight away, and we're going to need to retain some experience in there, because I don't think we're going to be successful if we just gut all the experience out and just bring in like a load of kids basically. But I think the point has to be, we've got to look towards lowering the sort of average age of the first team, and just bringing some people in with a bit of potential who could be like your next Sam Smith, for example, who could feasibly get a contract to the sort of top end of the division, I guess. So yeah, that's what I'd look to do.
And potentially, I think, use of the loan market with Monk's links at the higher end of the game, potentially somewhere we look to build a squad around. We'll talk a bit more about, I think, the squad and squad building in a retained list pod once that comes out, which I've got no idea when that's going to come out, but in the next couple of weeks. Casper, final question. We've had this in from John. Pre-season expectations were low and many saw us relegated or at best in 17th place. Talk all season was that we wanted to be safe before the final game. We didn't achieve that last one, but we did finish 18th. Was this season a success? He says he's not certain. Lots of good things happened, but it was unquestionably chaotic as well. What do you make to it? Because it's obviously three managers, one of which was our own decision. The other was very much out of our hands. So there's been that chaos that John mentions. But fundamentally, we have actually finished 18th, secured another season in League One, despite it being slightly trickier than we wanted to at the end. It was still, you know, comfortable. Well, comfortable enough, I guess, for a team whose only aim is just to stay up this season. Where are you sitting with how good this season was?
It's a success. I'm not saying we're good. I just think the two are slightly different, divorced from each other, right? We're good and successful are two different things. We can worry about good a bit later, I guess. The season was a success. The mission is to stay up. We had to deal with a lot of turmoil, obviously, some of it of our own making by removing Mark Bonner. Couldn't have foreseen maybe what was happening with Neil Harris, obviously, and then had to go and find someone pretty quick to oversee the run-in. So, I think that makes it more successful, having more managers, if that makes sense, because we've had to deal with quite a lot of adversity. The injuries, it's not obviously down to bad luck. I think that's a bit remiss to say that we just got a bit unlucky with injuries, but obviously we did lose Ahadmi for a period of time. Akena Biri was out for quite a long period of time as well. I think it's a success, right? Yeah, it was chaotic for sure. It wasn't massively enjoyable, but if you look at these average attendances coming up as well, there's a lot of momentum around the club right now, probably more than we've had in a very, very long time, process way back to the early 90s, you would say. So growing attendances, sustaining League One, we've never been at this division 4 years in a row. It's definitely a success for sure.
Yeah, totally agree with all of that. And I think it's just that thing, isn't it, that we've said a million times, stay in League One while you can redevelop the ground. And then at the other, on the other end of that, look at where the club can go in the next 5 years after that. The plans for the ground, I think something should come out this summer. I assume they might have even been waiting to see what division we're playing in. But I know that's obviously a long process. So I think everyone wants to get spades in the ground and get moving. Tom, last question then. You know, obviously we can now go and put our feet up for a bit and not have to stare at the League One table for probably, you know, another 9 months or whatever. But then we're going to be right back at it again in August, with what is going to be a very, very tricky looking League One. Dickie Dosh, past managers emailing in. What's a good season next time out? Is it just same again, Tom?
It probably is, to be honest. It doesn't sound like the most ambitious thing ever. But like the context of who's going to be coming into the division is kind of everything, really. You know, most notably, that's who's coming up from League Two. And I think you can make a pretty decent argument with all those teams, particularly Wrexham and Stockport, that they'll probably have an eye or half an eye on competing at the top end of League One again. And I think because Mansfield, you know, pretty well resourced, I don't necessarily see them being in too much danger. I think they'll be able to consolidate, and obviously Clough's a good operator, and they've got the budget that should allow them to do that, I think. So I think survival in what should be in theory a harder league, it therefore becomes quite a good achievement. I guess it would be anyway, but particularly next season. And I think the concern is, like, when you go into this season, like, we felt there was maybe a few candidates who probably could and would end up down towards the bottom end. It is quite hard to come up with like a list of teams next season already, like even at this early stage, just looking at it and going, they're going to be the ones we're going to be competing against next season. I think I did it a little bit earlier on, but it's even banking on like Leighton Orient, who finished to drop away, and X, who finished 13th, to drop away, maybe like a Stevenage or something. But we're asking like for like three or four, like the current top half, to totally fall off a cliff, which, you know, in all likelihood probably won't happen. You might have one or perhaps even two who do drop off a little bit. So I think the context is all about the strength of the division next season. I think I'm not sure it's going necessarily to where it was when we first came back into League One, where it was very much a league of two leagues, which obviously was the phrase that kept being used. I just think, generally speaking, it's going to be a lot stronger across the board next year.
Who did you actually come up with when you did that little list? Because I think when I've been looking at it, the obvious ones is Burton and Shrewsbury, right? Like, whenever you speak, everything I see from their fans, that they seem in potentially even worse place than us. I think Then Northampton feel like they have a lot of loan players
Yeah, so I
have
had
proved through.
Northampton, Exeter, Orient, Bristol Rovers, Shrewsbury, Burton, and whoever comes up through the playoffs in League Two. Ideally, that obviously not being someone like MK Dons, for example, you might also expect to consolidate with some ease. You're probably looking towards Crewe or Crawley there, and you want one of them up because you feel like you in any given season you should be able to do better than both those sides. Whereas MK and possibly Doncaster, given the momentum of their quite frankly ridiculous run in the last few weeks, might pose a bit of a bigger threat. But yeah, I think like Caspel said, the aim for this football club at the moment is very much survival, and you kind of have to rapidly try and build everything around it, and then that's when your ambitions change a little bit. So, yeah, I think what this season has done is raised what the level of ambition should be within the club. I don't want to kind of keep labouring the point, but under Bonner, it was like the ambition or the expectation of what we should be looking to achieve at this level just wasn't there at all. And I think his approach was one that a lot of people would say is fair, which is just survive, and that's fine, and that's something that us as fans can say. But when it's coming from your manager, it's pretty uninspiring. And I think with someone like Harris, he came in immediately up the standard of what he was expecting. And I think Monk's carried that on, and maybe even to a slightly late greater extent. Like his interview after the game was just quite sort of like, yeah, like we're happy that we've stayed up, but we don't want to celebrate this because it's the last day of the season. Like we don't want to be here again this time next year. Whereas I think if you'd ask someone like Mark Bonner after the last day of last season, would you take that again? He probably would have said yes. And I don't think that's going to be the case with Monk. But you obviously have to keep in mind the context, what we just talked about in terms of the strength of the league, and knowing that that is a distinct possibility. So yeah, we'll have to see. And yeah, it's exciting. It's one to look forward to.
It is
It's great playing
exciting.
Wrexham, isn't it? It'll be great playing those guys.
Oh, those guys. Seeing those guys down the Cladara is going to be absolutely class. I bet we get them first game of the season. So sure of it. Anyway, let's wrap this up. Look, we did well to get quite a lot out of, one of the dullest, most insipid nil-nil draws going, but obviously a very, very important one for us. We do have a few more pods coming out before fully wrapping the season. We'll have obviously a retained list pod. As I mentioned, we've got another mailbag episode. We'll also have an end of season pod out in a couple of weeks where we'll give out some sort of awards. Not sure exactly what they're going to look like we're given this season. And then we're also going to do a special looking back at a decade since the conference promotion season. So obviously subscribe in all the usual places for that. Make sure you don't miss any episodes. Then we'll probably take some time off, go and enjoy another football team disappointingly crash out of a major tournament, most probably. And then obviously back and raring to go for the new season. Thank you everyone, obviously, for listening this year. I know it's been tough. It's been tougher for us, I can guarantee you. But if you do feel that our sympathy of having to talk about some of the games we've had to this year, then do head to undertheabbeystand.com, and there's a little donation link there if you want to buy us a pint for your favorite pod. And that's it. Caspel, thank you very much. Great to have you back.
Wrap it up, mate. End it now. I'm not looking forward to next season. It's too
Brilliant.
early. It's too
Okay,
early.
great.
It's too early. It's too early for that now, isn't it? Jesus, can't we just not think about football for a few weeks and
You're
then
right. Let's
get
all
back to
take.
that? In.
I really need a bit of sort of pause on football. I need like a few months of just of sort of cricket or something else.
Just a small matter of the European Championships to look
Exactly.
forward to. Another opportunity for a perennially disappointing team to ruin my life.
Well, there you go. There's a goodbye from Tom Walker. Thanks for everything this season, boys. And yeah, we'll see you soon.